Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the second episode of the Backlog Review Game Club. Hello, once again. I am Chris.
Oh, I thought you were William Shatner.
I know, I went for dramatic pauses that
this
time.
This is the review.
Welcome to the Game Club.
That's about as good an intro as we'll have.
I think so. Yeah, I'm Chris. Once again, I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Paul.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
It's not like we haven't talked 20 minutes before this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good. So we come back to you again, having just played The Witness, literally in Paul's case. Paul wrapped up playing this game.
Right before I came here, yeah.
I didn't finish it.
You didn't finish it? Well, I was close.
Yeah.
Close enough that I just wanted to blow through it. Unfortunately, that meant looking at walkthroughs for the last handful of puzzles.
We didn't explicitly say a lot of things in the first episode because we had to talk about Metal Gear Solid, and it took a while.
Yep.
We are not trying to finish every single game we set out to play. I feel like it's just our experience with it, so we're gonna play it until maybe we'll beat them, maybe we won't, but we'll try to have a sort of comprehensive look at either our experience or try to get a picture of what the game was in total. Yeah, and like things like walkthroughs and that, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of games now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
A little less this year, which is kind of nice, but
yep.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this month we played the follow-up from Braid by one Jonathan Blow. It was The Witness.
That's right.
This month we're going to be a little more structured with how we talk about it.
Yeah, it's less here's the synopsis.
Yeah, we went from a game that's almost entirely story driven to a game where there's almost no story to speak of.
Yeah.
There is some.
Yeah.
But not much.
It's pretty vague.
Yeah. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, for sure. So it's but that's I think that's a good thing. I don't know that, you know, every game necessarily needs to have a story.
No.
I think this one in particular was definitely like sort of an atmospheric experience.
Yeah.
I don't know. As I say that, it sounds like I'm trying to
create
a dissertation, you know, about it. But
it's better than Walking Sim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not
Sim
what
with
this
puzzle.
Is.
Yeah. No, that's not what this is.
Yeah, so. No. But it's definitely immersive. I mean, I found I was surprised for how little of a story there was. I was like super captivated by just, I mean, the look of the game, first of all. I mean, it's beautiful, but just also just the immersion of it, like just how everything was very, you could tell it was very well realized, like the entirety of the game. And I was really blown away by that. And I wasn't sure also, like, the only reason I got this game was because it was on, I think, Games with Gold, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
So I picked it up for free, and I wanted to play it mostly because it looked like it could be like Myst, and I loved those games when I was younger. But
it has a very big Myst vibe.
Yeah. So I got it just, you know, kind of on a whim because it was free, but and I'm never really sure like how those Games with Gold games are received. So I just looked it up the other night, but this has, and you know, say what you want about review aggregators, but on Metacritic, I think it has like an 87%.
Oh, wow.
Or an 89.
I didn't even look.
87 or 89. So it's pretty highly regarded.
That's higher than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like this game is very well. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
I want to jump into it now. I think that's all a good setup. So let's talk more about the lead up to and the history of The Witness.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so The Witness was released in January 26th of 2016, so man, 4 years old.
Yeah.
It's weird. Man, time is flying by.
Yep, it's true. Exactly 4 years, too.
Yeah, almost 4 years, just a little after 4 years to the date. And it was released originally on the PC and the PS4. Then an Xbox One port came out later on September 13th. It was developed by Thecla, which, you know, if you've never heard of that, of course you haven't, because that is the team that was created by Jonathan Blow, who is the, you know, lead designer and I don't think he programmed on this one, but he is the lead designer of this game. Jonathan Blow was the man behind the 2008 game Braid, which was a huge success, mm-hmm. one of the first real big indie games. We'll get into that in a minute. This game took 7 years to make. It started right after the development of Braid. And in that time, that 7 years of time included building their own custom game engine. So this thing is not built on any existing engines that are out there, which I think that's impressive.
That is super impressive.
Yeah. Nowadays, you don't get a lot of games that build their own engines, at least ones that are like full 3D with like in the way this game looks. It looks fantastic. So I think that's a pretty big accomplishment to build a whole game engine in 7 years.
For sure. And have it not be crappy.
Right. Like it
either. Like that. That's real impressive.
I think originally when it came out, the PS4 version had a couple of places where it would chug, but I think that's been patched since. It's a very smooth experience.
Yeah, for sure.
I have it on PC. You played the Xbox One port.
Yeah, I did.
The PC one I had, it chugged for a while, and there are certain sections that it chugged worse, but then I realized that was on my end. I upgraded the RAM, and now it runs pretty smooth with the exception of the one swamp area.
Mm.
But we'll talk about that more in a minute. So let's talk about Jonathan Blow, the man behind JB. This game. The old JB.
Blowy.
Yeah. He's a weird
not
name.
Calling that.
Yeah. We're not going to call him Blowy.
Believe yes. it. The hockey nicknames.
Right. So he created originally, yeah. So he was known for making Braid. Before anything else,
mm-hmm.
that is the game that skyrocketed him to not just, I don't want to say popularity, but he's like a big name now in the indie community.
Mm-hmm.
Before he did any of the work on his own games, he did porting and consulting work on other games, and then eventually decided he was going to build his own thing. Braid was a one-man operation, or close to one man. I think he had some help with maybe art and things like that, but as far as the game goes, that was mostly him. Because of the success of Braid, he's had the opportunity to go around and speak, and you know, he's very outspoken when it comes to game design, but in a good way. I don't fault him. Like, he's not out there like saying these games are terrible and here's why. Yeah. He just has very specific thoughts about the game design process. I have two like summations of some of the things he's talked about over the years. So one of the things he believes in game designs is like in game design is that games with a story should have mechanics that are consistent with their message in order to be the most effective. And he also believes that game systems can reveal something about the nature of the universe or truth. So it kind of makes sense when you look at Witness and Braid.
Yeah. Yep.
Like those are both things that are in the game.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that video games as a medium is a cool way to just explore, I don't know, philosophical conundrums.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that second point really, really hits there. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, especially when it's more interactive. So
right, exactly. So you are sort of piecing together your own ideas of said conundrum or, right. you know, whatever.
And another thing about Jonathan is that he's extremely willing to talk about his process. There are no shortage of interviews. You can punch in YouTube right now and probably pull up about 20 interviews.
Oh, geez.
He was one of the subjects in the, I can't remember what year it came out. I want to say it was 2011 or 2012, but it was Indie Game, the movie. He's also, they did a no clip documentary on The Witness not too long ago, which was really great. I actually watched that quite a bit to get some background on the process and this game, so I highly recommend that. Yeah, you can, there's no shortage of Jonathan Blow willing to talk about video games.
Yeah,
if you would like to do so, it's out there.
Yep.
So anyway, that's the background on Jonathan Blow coming into the idea for The Witness. So when The Witness started ruminating was right after Braid. he had been mulling around with this idea about a mechanic in a game where you could draw lines to cast spells. And he specifically, there was a game that did that before. I can't remember the name of it. He said it in one interview and I can't find it again. But basically, he was trying to mess around with the mechanic that depending on how you drew the line, like if you drew it small, if you drew it big, or if you drew a curve over here, that would change how the spell ultimately cast. It would be the same spell, but maybe it would hit a little harder here or not. And he messed around with that for a while, and he just never got to a place with it that he liked. So he still liked the idea of the lines. So after ruminating on that for a while, and this was before Braid even, he just had this idea about something with lines. So after Braid comes out, he's still thinking about that idea, but he realizes that Braid worked for him because it was very minimalist. Like, it went minimalistic. He focused on one mechanic, the time-winding mechanic, and it worked. Yep. He's like, okay, what if I just focus on the line itself and do something with that? And so he went with the puzzle. He liked the line puzzles. So that's when he put together that small team, which is now known as Thecla. And they spent 7 years designing puzzles, building the game engine, workshopping things. 7 years when this finally comes out.
You know, that sounds like a long time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is a long time, but just like, I don't know, when you play the game and just realize how, as I said before, what just well realized the entire game, like the world, all of that stuff, and just how interconnected those puzzles are, and just place it, like, you know, you walk through one area once and you're like, okay, I've seen it all, but then you realize there's like a hidden pathway somewhere and that leads to this giant other area, you know, whatever, like, it's mm-hmm. just how detailed the whole world is pretty insane.
So yeah, with all that being said, let's actually talk about The Witness itself.
Yeah.
And this one, there's not really much to speak about with a story. You know, we can try to summarize it the best we can, because I feel like there's like hints at story at large, but really you wake up, you know, it's a first person game. You wake up in a tunnel, very dark, or I think it's even a cave. Go to the end of the cave and you get your first line puzzle. And you do a couple of those, and you eventually walk out. You're on an island. That is all the story they give you.
Yep.
Or all of that's all you get.
Yep.
You then have to spend the next anywhere from 25 to 40 to even 80 hours, depending on how many, you know, puzzles and optional puzzles you do. Mm-hmm. It's a game heavy on exploration. So you are meant to explore this island. You're meant to try puzzles. There's all different variations of these line puzzles all across the island. In the intro area, they're pretty straightforward. There's clearly an intro puzzle with the black and white squares.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of meant to, like, well, here's what you're in for. And then I think shortly after that, you'll run into the town, or there's another area where you hit another puzzle, and it's meant to be way harder than the rest. And from the interviews I've seen, he said that's there because I want people to know that, hey, you're going to run into stuff. You're not going to know how to do it. It's okay. Walk around.
Yep.
And you can come back later.
Yeah, that's how, I mean, it's an open world thing, so you can go literally wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. There's no restrictions, except there are some gates.
Yeah.
But the gates are only behind puzzles.
Yep.
So if you know how to do them, exactly. You can get there.
And those puzzles, something may have to be opened for you to actually fully access the puzzle or whatever, but for the most part, everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as you said, there's, you know, each area has a specific, well, not specific, but they each area tends to introduce a new puzzle type or new aspect to it, which then, you know, culminates later into other puzzles having multiple different puzzle types to them.
Right.
But each area starts off with super easy puzzles, and then they very quickly ramp up to
yeah,
difficult puzzles. But as little, you know, minute rules to the puzzles come up, or complexities to the puzzles come up, there's always like a very easy one to help you understand, and then it ramps up very quickly.
Yeah. And like, I have some notes here on just some of the different types of puzzles you encounter. Like, one of them are you get multicolored squares, and you have to group the colored squares together using the line and separate the other ones. So if you have like blue and red, you have to make sure that all the blue squares are wrapped around, the line wraps around those and then separates them from the red squares.
Yep.
That ramps up very quickly. You mm-hmm. see that one a ton on the island. Mm-hmm. There are Tetromino style shapes where you have to use the line to recreate those shapes. And sometimes those shapes get merged together. And that's those ones always killed me.
Yeah, those were the those were the hardest ones. People always talk. There's another puzzle where it's like a three pronged triangle or whatever.
Oh,
they're like
yeah.
three lines put together.
Mm-hmm.
But that negates one of the symbols on the puzzle board that it's grouped together with. So you essentially, as long as they're grouped together somehow, you don't have to worry about that symbol, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that, you know, that tends to be the hardest one for people to understand, like just to get, like figure out how it works. But
yes.
then to me, that was honestly one of the more helpful symbols because it was just like, oh, now I don't have to worry about this one thing. Or like, whatever, I can, you know. It almost makes the puzzle easier, but just figuring out how it works was super hard.
Whenever they started like combining, like you have to make a T shape and then you have to add it to the line. And I spent a lot of time. I think there was like a brief period of time where I gelled with those.
Yeah.
And then my biggest problem with this game was I played it 2 years ago, maybe even three. Cause I think I got it in 2017, a year after it came out. And I spent somewhere around, I think I had about 8 hours into it. And during that time, I was very good about remembering what the puzzles are. And then I stepped away and I did not come back for a while. And so I tried to play it again recently and did not remember anything.
That would definitely not help with this.
No, I should not have.
You have like a vague inkling.
Uh huh.
But that I feel like that almost makes it worse.
Yeah, it was really rough. I had to watch a lot of videos just to remind myself how certain rules worked.
Yeah, I mean, I tended to just, well, not all the time, but there were certainly some puzzle types where I had to just at least look up hints.
It's funny you mentioned that because one thing that I heard Jonathan mention in an interview, and actually when he said it, I thought about it and I was like, oh, right, that is really interesting, is that there's like no kind of shared language about the puzzles in this game because it's never like spelled out to you. So the way you describe a puzzle might be way different than how someone else describes it.
True.
And so like the walkthroughs of this, like the way someone will describe a thing, like it's the same solution, but the way you go about describing it is vastly different, that's interesting to me to see how, like, you sort of see how people's minds work
yeah.
with the puzzles in the game
yeah.
based on how they think about it.
It's certainly a study in spatial relations.
Yeah.
That is.
That
it's
should
an interesting
be a,
thing.
That should be a pool quote on the box art.
Yeah.
A study in spatial relations. a couple other puzzle types that I really liked. I really liked the ones with the shadows. So you would get
yeah.
like a grid line and then there would be shadows depending on where you stood and how those shadows cast would either give you the path or tell you where not to go.
Yep.
I love those ones.
Yeah, I thought those were awesome.
And then there was one section where they're sound based and it's based off like the pitch of a bird.
Yep.
And so depending on how it would tweet, like that's how it was just like, it looked like a wavelength.
Yep.
And so you just had to make the line match the pitch and then you would, you know, move on to the next one.
Yeah, those were awesome. That was one of my favorite sections, but it also scared the crap out of me once because this is like the only time, well, not the only time, but this is like one of the only times where any thoughts of like the real world come into play because there's like, as you're going through those sound-based ones, there is like a telephone will ring or like various sounds will be made like that.
Well, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like it broke, like in a good way, like broke a fourth wall of sorts mm-hmm. or something. Not really the fourth wall, but just like it broke my thought process and scared the crap out of me because I was just like, what? What was that? Like, you know, you think you're just alone in this
yeah.
island, and you are just alone on this island, but just like whatever that sound just scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, I like the way it kind of messes with you on
yeah.
that one.
Yep.
There was a very interesting point that was brought up during one of these interviews I watched with Jonathan. It was like, specifically, it was about the color puzzles and like thinking about people that are colorblind or even the sound-based ones, people who are deaf. What did you take any of that into account? And basically the way he explained it, he was like, you know, at a certain point, like you kind of run out of ways to do these puzzles. And so he's like, not every one of these puzzles needs to be solved to get to the ending.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to finish everything. And so that's the one thing we wanted to make sure is that, all right, if you can't do the sound puzzle, either, you know, you can suss it out or even have to look it up. That's fine. Or you can just move past it, move on to another area. You'll be fine. You can still beat the game.
Yeah.
And so, and then with the color stuff specifically, he was like, yeah, we try to do a high contrast and things like that, but there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I appreciated that he at least thought about it.
Yeah.
The process of it. Cause a lot of people don't really consider that when they make games or puzzles like that, that, you know, the accessibility of it can be a little rough.
Well, I know when I was in the color puzzles that you're mentioning, I had like, I was reading like an IGN article or something about it. And they were like, this section will be very difficult or possibly even impossible for you if you have color blindness.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's true. I like wasn't even thinking about that.
It was I think it's that greenhouse section.
Yep, the greenhouse.
Yeah,
yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
even
I mean,
with
it's just
I'm not colorblind, and that was rough.
Yeah. That one was really cool though. Well, not there's like an elevator sequence that like I definitely there was one part that I just didn't get. But I thought it was cool, like to me, like a very well done puzzle is something where, you know, you think you're stuck and you like look up an answer and you're like, oh, I should have realized that. Or, you know, it takes you a really long time. You finally figure it out and you're like, that shouldn't have taken me that long. Like that to me is a good puzzle.
Yeah.
Cause you're actively thinking about it. You're thinking too hard or something and, you know, let it rest and you've got it. But those, with the greenhouse in particular, like you're looking at these, it's another one of these multicolored square puzzles. But there are colored panes of glass. And if you, it's very easy just to see those colored panes of glass and be like, oh yeah, that's cute. That's cool. They look cool in like an otherwise white building, or white interior. And then you're stumped on this puzzle for a while. And then you're like, wait, what if these colored panes of glass are actually worth, you know,
right,
something else, and they end up being something else. So like, yeah, I think it's again, just how well done some of these puzzles were and just the world around it.
And I think too, that's actually a good point. Cause I think this game can be frustrating at times because I think the older I get, the less attention span I have for games in particular. I think it's just a side effect of there are hundreds of thousands of games released in a year now. And so like something's got to hook me. And if I get stuck on it, I'm going to look it up pretty quick because I just want to get to the next, I want to get through it. Like hook me or not. Cause I got 40 other things I can go do.
Yeah.
This game really forces you sometimes to get stuck and get frustrated, but then that forces you to have to look around and maybe rethink. This game is big on perspective.
Yeah.
That's another pull quote.
That's our next.
Perspectives.
Yeah, perspectives.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Backlog Review Game Club.
And that exclamation point is a puzzle.
Yep.
Based on perspective.
You could draw it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you just change how you look at it, and then maybe you have a whole different, like, oh, of course, there's a solution now.
Yep.
So you can just play this whole game pretty much start to finish just doing these line puzzles. And some people have done it, but like all good puzzle games, there's another layer there.
Yep.
And this was a thing that I really wanted to talk about with you, and I didn't know when to bring it up. So I kept like asking, like, hey, can I see how many puzzles did you get?
Yeah.
You would always tell me a number, but you wouldn't give me the secondary number.
Well, I didn't have one.
Yeah. And so I didn't
know.
And
also, so the other reason is that I didn't realize that if you hit load a game, in the pause menu, it would say the full right. number, because on the Xbox app, there's like a line item for puzzles completed, right. but it doesn't separate the two.
Right.
So
you only get what?
Yeah, like this says 450. Like I completed 450 right, right. puzzles, but that's, it's like 400
with
15 plus 35 whatever. Or something. Yeah.
yeah. So if yeah, you have to look on your load screen and you either get one number or two if you found
yep.
the second layer of puzzles.
Yeah.
And I was so excited to be there the day that you pretty much had figured it out, but you didn't see one yet.
Yep.
And so I got to be there to show it to you. And I was like, oh, finally a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. But it's the big aha moment of this game. And it is the environmental puzzles.
Yeah.
Environmental puzzles,
mind blowing.
Yeah,
it was, go ahead. Yeah,
so yeah, it is exactly the same as line puzzles, almost identical to the panel ones, except that's the same line that you've always been drawing, but it's about finding them in nature on the island. So some of them, like the easiest one to find is the one I showed you first, and it was really fun to watch yep. you have that moment.
Yep.
So in the beginning of the game, the cave you come out of. There's a long gray tunnel. If you go out, turn around and look back, it's the first line puzzle you had in the game. It's just a straight line down.
Yep.
And then you bring up the little frame and you can tap it and start drawing it. And all of a sudden you just get like this whoosh sound when yep. you complete it, and just these sparkles appear and just fly away. And so that is the next layer of puzzles. Now, it doesn't change. I don't know if it changes the ending or not. I don't think it does.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think
sure.
you get one. There's one ending, and then there's like a secondary ending, but that is not influenced on those secondary puzzles.
Yeah, I'm not sure if completing every single puzzle like gets you a different ending or not. But
I could not find anything on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't. There might not be.
Yeah, I mean, I also... I'll admit I didn't dig that deep
yeah.
into how many endings there were.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's only two. There might be three.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really fun to show you that. And then like we found some additional ones. Like the one that blew my mind is the one with the videos.
Yeah.
Because I
yeah, man, that was pretty mind blowing. Anyway,
yeah, the videos for me was always a thing I hated about the game. Not hated, but I liked the least. They always just sort of felt like kind of pretentious.
Yeah.
And just like, ooh, look at these ridiculously smart people on the BBC a long time ago talking about life and science and space. And it's like, I get it, but what are we doing with this?
Yeah, here? Right.
And then you had looked, like we noticed on the corner or like this one side, like it looks like that's the start of the dot to start the line puzzle. I can't remember if you said it first or what, but
yeah,
one of us said, oh, the video. And then we started like moving the character around and we found one where it matched up in the video. And I was like, that's
yep,
I was like
the
what?
Starting circle of, yeah, of the puzzle was in the video.
And finally, like, then I was like, all right, I totally forgave it now for
yep.
those videos. Cause I was just like, it's another puzzle.
I get
it. Of course it's
yeah.
another puzzle.
yeah.
Why didn't I see it before?
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And I only found two of the videos.
I think I found three.
Yeah. But the only one that I could figure out was the one that we looked at together.
That was the one with the green.
There was
like
a green
moon.
Circle. And then there was also a tan circle based on like a book that he's holding.
Oh, right. I'll have to try that one again.
Yeah.
I got to it again, but I didn't get it to actually.
It was hard. I know you and I were texting back and forth about some of these puzzles, and I was like, you know, and I finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were like, "How did you do it?" I just said, "Hope."
That's right.
yeah, some of those are just. Some of them are pretty ridiculous. And some of the environmental puzzles in general are pretty ridiculous.
Oh, God.
But
yeah.
I ended up figuring out that the sparks that fly away
mm-hmm.
fly to those black obelisks
right.
in the environment.
Yeah.
And there's these obelisks that are positioned in different areas of the map, and they, once you find an environmental puzzle on the obelisk, it gives outlines for all the others, mm-hmm. and it helps you just kind of figure out where, where the other puzzles might be.
And like, just as an example too, you know, they're in the sky, they're in the environment, like in the flowers, I'll make one. You can see them. There's one that's like a sewage pipe, like a drainage, maybe not sewage, but like drainage pipe. And then like there's a line along the coast. And it's all about finding the right spot on the island to make the line complete. And sometimes you'll see it, but you won't, like there'll be an obstacle in the way. And so you'll have to like just, you know, go find a different spot, try it again. That was the most fun I had with this game.
Yeah,
I think. Because at a certain point, I had more fun finding those than I did actually finishing some of the line puzzles. I believe at the last count, I got to 283 puzzles, but then I got 40 or 45 of the environmental.
Yeah, I think I had something like 415 completed puzzle mm-hmm. line puzzles and then 35 nice. Environmental ones.
Yeah, I like at a certain point, I got very frustrated with where I got to do with the puzzles.
I was pretty proud of myself. Like, I'm not going to include the end because I was just trying to get to the end.
Yeah, those before I got here. Rough.
Yeah, some of them weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. And then some of them were very hard. Like, and I was just like, I don't have time. So I just looked it up. But I pride myself in, I think of those like 400, let's say like 380, because there's a bunch of puzzles at the end, that, like I said, or like 390. Let's say of those 390, I want to say there were maybe only like 20 or 25 that I really like, I was stumped and I just want to move on. So I look it up. But, so I was like pretty proud of myself, but, mm-hmm. That being said, there were some, if I had not looked them up, and I think it was, I think my problem was often that I wasn't fully understanding the constraints different, like the actual, like how to solve the puzzle or like mm-hmm. what to do with like the symbols. But yeah, for the most part, with enough just like looking at it for a while and just trial and error, you can figure it out.
I brute forced a few. Yeah, I know for a fact. There was just a couple of times I'm like, I'm just gonna keep drawing.
Yeah,
it'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
The early ones you can do it more because there are less lines, like less paths to deal with.
Yeah. There were some this is just kind of going back to like some of those ending puzzles. There were some, like, so, you know, they're all panels
mm-hmm.
in which you draw the line and stuff, and some of them seem very easy, but then it's tracking or something like that.
I've seen this. Yeah, I watched a video on the ending because I gave up.
Yeah, there's like the almost like tracking on a VCR, like the image is,
it's offset.
Like, it's offset. Yeah, so it's like the top of the puzzle is at the bottom of the screen, and you can't just click directly on the dot, the starting dot. You have to click like slightly below.
Yeah.
Because at first I just thought I needed to get to another area and like readjust the panel. And then at some point I was like, maybe I can't do that. And I just started clicking like furiously all over because I was frustrated. And at one point it started the puzzle and I was like, oh, that's what I needed to do.
Yep.
And then, so there's those. Mm-hmm. And then, like, farther along in that panel, where your cursor is as you go moves the screen. So then it's like the Pac-Man, if you want to call it that. But, like, as you move to the right, the whole puzzle will move off the screen and come back on the other side, so it's just like flipping around.
Oh, what?
And it was like really, because
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it was disorienting because you would move and the puzzle was moving and you'd I found myself reacting to the puzzle moving, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't actually move the line as far as I needed to, and then I would just have to do it all over again. It was like wild.
I don't remember those ones.
Yeah, and they did it like left to right. Sometimes they did it on an angle, so there would be like the four corners of the puzzle would all be in like different sections of the panel and stuff. Oh. It was wild. But that, like, I was like, that's very clever. Like,
yeah,
these are very cleverly done.
Yeah. Oh, and that we should say that all these puzzles, I think, are very, like, even the easy ones, I think they're all so well thought out, well put together. Like, none of these puzzles I felt like really were cheap.
Right.
I mean, I might feel that way if I was deaf, obviously, and I couldn't hear the sound one.
True.
Yeah, I thought, given if you can have all these tools in front of you, all the way they did these puzzles, I thought were very clever.
Yeah, I agree.
We should probably talk about what is the ending of the game. So, the island has, like, these different sections, and I think there are, like, 11 or 13?
I think there are 11, yeah.
I think it's 11, yeah.
Well, there are 11 lasers,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, that's what I'm going for. So in each of these sections, there are lasers you can unlock. Maybe some have more than one laser. You'll solve a group of these puzzles until you get to the last one, and that one will unlock a laser. The laser then points to this one mountain that you can get to at any time, but all of them will point at this one location, and then that starts unlocking these panels, which is on this like weird kind of statue.
Yeah, it's like box.
It's a box that has just a very simple line puzzle, and it'll start flipping off. You need seven, or flipping open, not flipping off. The panels will flip open. You need seven of those lasers to get to the ending area. So the ending is you descend down into the mountain, and you get a lot. You get a lot of really difficult puzzles.
Yeah.
That's where you got like the tracking one.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, I don't see, so you did this, I didn't, I just know it's there. That box puzzle, did you look at it from up above?
The
one you get to open the panel below?
Or
you know,
the one no.
you have to, so if you are on the stairs heading down the mountain but look back up at it, you can draw the line down and under.
Oh, nice.
And that, I think, is maybe what unlocks the challenge section, which we'll get to that in a sec. But anyway, you have to go through, solve a lot of very much, like, much more difficult puzzles ahead of you. Once you get to that, you get to the bottom of the mountain. There's a couple more puzzles, and that unlocks an elevator. And then there's, at that point, they're very simple puzzles, but they're meant to turn on the elevator. And
they're simple, but not too simple. Cause
well,
they're like wrapped around a pole.
Not those ones.
Those ones are still difficult. The ones to activate
activate the elevator. Yeah. Those are pretty. And then you basically just, from what I saw, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you fly around the mountain again, sort of revisiting each area. More poems are read. That is really the only story bits in this game, is that occasionally every time you turn on a laser, someone reads a poem.
Yeah, it's like it's a very philosophical, like, because they're not just poems, because sometimes they're almost dissertations on some sort of like philosophical idea or, you know, whatever. Like there was one that I listened to yesterday about schools of Zen, which was interesting. Yeah. But yeah, this one, the ending, like the poem, I thought was pretty cool. Just because it was, they were all the things. It was like a flash of lightning in a summer storm, a flickering candle, or like a flickering candle, like a bubble in a brook. I don't remember some of the other ones. But anyway, it was very slow to finish the entire poem. But the last, as you're flying through the air in this elevator, you eventually come back to where you started and
back into the tunnel.
Yeah, back into the tunnel. Everything kind of turns back off.
Yeah.
Like all the lasers and stuff as you're going. You end up back in the tunnel. It says the last line of the poem is like a dream. And then the game ends. And then you can start a brand new game.
Okay.
And so that's everything they say, all the lines, they're all things that are fleeting or things that, you know, create an impression on you and then are gone. And then you move on. Time moves on. And so I feel like that's sort of the thought experiment here. Like this is a game that like leaves an impression on you, but at the end of the day, it is just one thing that you'll do.
It's a fleeting moment.
Yep, in the rest of your life, which I thought was like pretty cool.
Yeah, you explaining that to me is way more than I ever got out of that. I watched that video and I was just like, oh, so you just start right back at the beginning, huh? Everything just turns right back off? Well, I'm glad I didn't waste any more time on this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I got a little bit upset at that ending.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I also am a person who tends to, like, try to dig really deep to find some sort of meaning.
That makes way more sense than anything I pulled out of it.
Yeah.
So that hearing you explain it that way, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
That actually makes me appreciate that ending more.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching it, I don't think I paid attention to the lines of the poems very much.
Mm.
I was trying to figure out if, like, I was focusing on, you know, what they were showing you, and I was thinking, oh, maybe there's some sort of, like, bigger truth revealed about the island. There isn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I was thinking that as well. Like, I was wondering, because there's like, statues of people
mm-hmm.
All through the island, and they're, I don't know, to me, it, I thought, like, at some point there was some, like, cataclysmic event.
Yeah,
that, like,
me
just
too.
Just turned these people to stone, and, like, that's why, like, you're trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
But, nope.
I had exactly the same thought. The only thing I found with those is that he mentioned there's like a third layer to the game, and really they're not puzzles so much as they are just perspective things.
Mm.
So like it's the way certain statues, if you look at them from an angle, will interact with each other.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Maybe they tell a story, but they really don't.
Yeah.
Like there's one where like there's rocks on the ground, and if you look at the shadow of a statue, it looks like it's juggling. Like,
okay.
They don't lock
cool.
anything.
They're,
just, they're neat. And I'm just like, I see what you're going for, but I wouldn't call that part of the game.
Yeah.
So much as fun little Easter eggs threw around the island.
Yeah.
But, all right. Yeah. Like, it's still neat.
Yeah.
So, that all being said, so that's the main ending you get. There is an area that I've literally, it was from IGN, and it was the title was, here's the biggest secret hidden 1 minute into the game.
Yeah.
So I recorded that, and I'm going to show it now. So I don't think Paul's... You haven't seen this yet.
I haven't, right. No. I know of what it's talking about, but I haven't.
So we're going to watch this. This is right after you get out of the main tunnel at the beginning of the game, and you start to see the grass around you. So there's the sun lines up with... the gate you see, you do the line puzzle that it makes, and it opens up.
And there's all those symbols too.
A hotel lobby.
Oh, wow.
Ever in my life have I sought thee with my songs. It was they who led me from door to door, and with them I have felt about me, searching and touching my world. It was my songs that taught me all the lessons I ever learned. They showed me secret paths. They brought before my sight many a star on the horizon of my heart. They guided me all the day long to the mysteries of the country of pleasure and pain. And, at last, to what palace gate have they brought me in the evening at the end of my journey?
And then some of this is me just exploring around. This little hotel.
Oh, I didn't realize this was your video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is me doing this. This is not the IGN one.
Audio by Wabi.
So this
Sabi
is when you realize
Andrew Lackey.
This is the end credits.
Anthony Jimenez.
And so, Burnett, like, other than that initial Fusi, audio log Eric you get, Lens. Which I think is kind of gives, I don't know, like I said, you can read into it what you will.
Yeah.
Sort of just sets up the fact that you've sort of reached an ending.
Yeah. Yeah, and it kind of, it almost hints at, like, all of the stuff that you've done throughout the game.
I love this, is that at different points in this, like, little hotel level, you can look out and see the island from a big perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, such a beautiful, beautifully rendered game.
Mm-hmm.
The core development and that's, of the witness was that's one thing that I was noticing when I... was or in the final like John ending Program. You know where you're flying through the where you're flying through the elevator like just how incredible like Martin and I thought it the whole way through but just like
Luis Antonio
I don't know it added another like
Eric A. Anderson.
Perspective to this like mm-hmm. gorgeous game.
Yeah. And so yeah, the you have different credits in here. I'll maybe skip ahead a bit. There's some hints to, like, there's some drawings down. And, oh, they're totally, I just realized, I think those are some of the puzzles you get during the challenge run, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
But you get some photos of the, like a bedroom and like this yard with some trees in it. Let's see. We're going to jump
ahead.
It's
interesting, too, because all of these symbols and stuff are, they're in the game. Like the those little napkins with like the symbols and all of that kind of stuff. So it's like hinted at this. Yeah. Well, where are we now?
So yeah, you progress further into this hotel and it sort of becomes like a weird, like minimalist environment. It's like dark gradient background. And then you get this panel where you see a picture. This is the dev studio.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they made the game, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then let me move ahead. Okay, this is the actual interesting part of this. So you'll like walk along the end. It just becomes like a single stone path to one like door gateway. You walk through and then this is about 9 minutes in. So this is a regular video, shot in first person view, clearly on a GoPro, but man waking up on a couch, disconnecting something from, I assume, his head, like a cable, next to a computer.
Like neurological.
Yeah, taking like some links off of his head. Almost like EKG.
Yeah, like biometric like stuff.
Yeah.
What?
I have no idea what that is. I think it's supposed to be like a saline drip.
Yeah.
So it looks like. I've never seen one look like that before, yeah. Though. Which makes me wonder, like, what wholesale?
Oh, no, it's a pee. It's,
oh, is that the pee jar
it's
one?
It's a catheter.
Oh.
But why is it on his arm?
Right.
I guess it can't, maybe it's just coming running up that way.
Yeah, I wondered if that was a catheter, because I'm like, is that supposed to be a bottle of pee?
Yeah.
It's a bottle of pee.
That's a bottle of pee.
He's standing up, taking his time. See a couple of desks with computers.
Oh, jeez.
He falls. This, once again, this is... I know this. I'm not sure if you're meant to know this. This is the dev studio. Which, I say it's a studio. It might just be somebody's house.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it could be.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Bay Area, so people just spaces at a premium. Some very IKEA-looking desks. This part makes me laugh. I don't know why. He's looking at like a little statue on a desk. Picks up a pen. he just knocks over the coins. I don't know what he's hoping to get out of that. Like he forgot how physics work or something. And then I don't know. We'll skip ahead in the video because it's kind of slow and goes on like this. But walks around. There's a kitchen. Pulls a cookie out. And then he gets to the backyard after, like, he, like, smacks some glasses with a Spoon.
Wait,
for a
no,
bit.
You gotta play him.
You wanna hear that one? Okay, let me go back.
I'm fully entrenched in this.
I don't want to get your hopes up too much because it doesn't go anywhere. Like, there's not a big payoff to this. But you want to hear this.
I mean, it just makes you think that whatever was happening to him, like, this is his first, like, jump back into real life in a long time or something.
Yeah, either he's been out for a while or whatever
he did.
You
see the puzzles on the wall and everything, too.
Yeah, whatever he did must have knocked him out or wiped his memory or something. All right, so he's going to open the door.
Slowly assimilating back into life.
It's got to play with the lock three times. Got to
play with the lock, yeah.
See, that one was the only thing that made me think, oh, maybe he's just expecting things to work. Because, like, you have to do things a certain amount of time. Like, maybe his brain is still used to puzzles.
Man, this place looks dope.
Yeah, it's a real nice backyard.
Yeah. Like a Zen garden.
Yeah, and it's like a stone version of, like, the first line puzzle you get. Surprisingly quiet for San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think this video might, yeah, it's going to end shortly. So I'll stop it here because nothing else really happens in this clip. But basically, it ends with him just sort of lying down on that stone patio and looking up into the sky, and it fades to white. And then this is the thing that made me realize it's an ending. It stopped the game. Like, the EXE quit, and I went back to Windows.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't even get the "you can start over." It's "you're done."
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's the other ending I've found. That's, you can get 1 minute into the game. I think it's meant to be found. It might only be found after you start a second game. I don't know if it's in the original run through. Maybe it is.
But I think it can be. I think I read somewhere that you can get it.
Okay.
Like, you know, as long as you do the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's really the majority of The Witness wrapped up. One little thing I want to do real quick. I don't have a name for this. I would like to try to make this a feature every month.
Okay.
So I'm open for suggestions on what to call this.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
But I had this moment when I was listening to the audio credits, and I realized that there's a link between this game and last month's game, Metal Gear Solid 2.
Interesting.
And so I want to give us some leeway, but it's basically 6 degrees of separation, but I want to see if we can do it. 6 is the max I want to do. The shorter the link, I think, is better.
Okay.
So I have a direct link in this one. And so I'm open for name suggestions. Right now we'll call it degrees of separation. But if we got a good, punny name for this segment, I will get it in there for next month. So hit us up.
Should it? Yeah. Let us know in the comments below.
Comments or on Instagram. Anyway,
should it be Kevin Bacon related?
It's not. This one's not going to be Kevin Bacon related, unfortunately. I mean, the name of the segment, sure. But anyway, so the direct link between The Witness and Metal Gear Solid 2 is a voice actor, and that voice actor is Phil LaMarr.
Okay,
so Phil LaMarr, you know, probably most well known for his work on Futurama. And he was also on Mad TV.
Yeah.
But he was a voice in Metal Gear Solid 2. He was Vamp.
Oh.
How could we forget Vamp, right?
Vamp. That's not who I would have expected.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's, all right.
That right. Some bitch would not die.
Nope. Yep. He took a lot of people down with him.
Yep. Phil Lamar is just one of the, like, readers in The Witness. Huh. And I only picked that up, well, you know, one of the credits in that weird ending, they start reading. He reads that one, too. Oh. I was like, wait, that is? I'm like, are you kidding me? We have a direct link between The Witness and Metal Gear Solid 2. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's very good.
So there you go. Phil Lamar voiced lines in both Metal Gear Solid 2 and The Witness.
He is this month's.
He's our degree of separation.
He is our degree of
separation. We did 1 degree of separation this month. I don't know if I'll ever be that easy unless we do sequels.
Yeah.
That's why we can't do sequels back to back.
That's right.
Yep. We have to split it up.
Yep. Another degree of separation.
Mm-hmm.
If we called it Separation Sunday. Multiple degrees.
Yeah. I like that one. Just I've realized it's a hold steady.
It's hold steady.
Yep.
It's Sunday. It's,
yeah. That means we have to record on Sunday. Spoiler alert, this one's being recorded on a Sunday.
Yeah.
We now have to force ourselves to record on a Sunday.
Yeah, this is still work in progress. That's a working title. I don't like it too much. No, the working title should be like Phoenix.
That's right. We like code name this like it's a console coming up.
Yeah.
Project Darkness. I don't know. That sounds like a government contract.
Telemundo.
All right. Well, let's wrap up our chat about The Witness. Final thoughts. Did you like it? Did you have fun with it?
Yeah, I definitely liked it. I thought it was a cool, just introspective, I don't know, go at your own pace type of game that both didn't ask much of you, but also asked a lot of you at the same time. Like it was, I don't know, that's kind of what I took from it. And I don't know, I just thought it was super rewarding and fun. I enjoyed it.
This is a game for me that, and the older I get, the more of these games I have. But it was one of these games where I felt like I got in, I got what I needed out of it, and I didn't feel compelled to finish it. But I still enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah.
I really appreciated. It was weird when I found the environmental puzzles 2 years ago. I found the first one just, I'm like, oh, that looks like a line. I bet I can draw it. Like, it didn't even have any, I didn't second guess it at all. I'm like, of course that's what they're doing. And then I found out that was like the big secret.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right. Like, it didn't have the same effect on me. I still appreciated it. But yeah, I was a little bit bummed when I found out I found the big thing without really putting much thought into it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it. I think this one was harder for me too because it was a PC. I got the PC version, and I find that with PC games, because I don't get to play it on my main TV like I do console games, I have to invest the time. Like, I have to come into my office, sit down, sit in the office chair, and it's not the most, like, comfortable setting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that works against it for me. Yeah, like I enjoyed my time with it, but I didn't feel the pull to see that end.
Yeah.
I looked up the ending. I was happy that I saw it there and I didn't put more time into it. But I don't know. I feel like this is one I get in moods for puzzle games off and on. So I feel like this is one I'll probably come back and visit again, put a couple more hours into it maybe.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed my time with it. Some things, you know, I like a game with a story that is, I don't need one to lay everything out front, but I think most of the time when I sit down and play a game, I want an experience. And, you know, if I'm not in the mood for like a quieter introspective thing, like The Witness is, it maybe won't hit me as hard as it could.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that makes total sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I like I said, I really like this game. I feel like this is a game that will diversify people, because you're either really going to like get into like enjoy the exploring experience, enjoy the puzzles, finding things like that, or you're just going to bounce off it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that being the case, for sure.
So, yeah, that was The Witness.
Yeah, we did it.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun to dive deep into that one just because I had never really thought about it since I played it. So it was kind of fun to learn some new background on it.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought the background stuff was pretty cool. And just, I don't know, again, for how simplistic the game was, you know, in terms of mechanics, like just how much they tried to extrapolate on that one mechanic.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, they really did a lot with little.
Yep.
And it was really interesting to see how they did that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So for first off, thank you to everyone who's downloaded and listened to last month's episode, the first episode. It's already been really cool to see people downloading it, and like we get more and more people listening every day, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you for downloading that one. I hope you enjoy this one as well, and I hope that you subscribe. We're now on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Podcasts.
Ooh.
We are on Spotify.
Ooh.
And you can also just use RSS, your RSS feed. That's the right reaction. I mean, not. Hey, I like my RSS feed.
Yeah, I do too. Don't worry.
It's how I get my podcast.
Yep.
But yeah, we're on all three of those major podcast services, so you can download or subscribe to us there. You can rate and review us on those services as well. That helps us out, gets more people listening. You know, if you like it, like share it, tell your friends. We appreciate that. Like this month, I just started, we have an Instagram account. So far, this is the only social media thing we have. So we're on there. You can find us at Backlog Review Pod. So search for us that on Instagram. You can subscribe. I will post like little extras. Like I posted some photos from the Metal Gear Solid pamphlet, or you know, the case insert that had some like more background story. And so there's like some fun little Easter eggy things that I like to put on our Instagram. You can also talk to us there, ask us questions about the episode that we just recorded. So you can ask us questions about The Witness or any, you know, any interesting things that you encountered while you played the game, let us know on there. We'd love to hear them. Come back, talk around them next month. You can review, you can leave comments too on the review page, not the review page, on the, you leave comments on the podcast page itself, but I think it's Facebook related. So if you're on a Facebook account, hit us up on Instagram or, you know, we'll find another way.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
But yeah, thanks to everybody who listened. And, you know, we really appreciate everybody checking us out. It's really cool.
For sure.
I'm excited for next month's game, which I get to reveal.
Ooh.
Got a nice little... Just a little drum roll. Next month,
keep doing it until you reveal.
Next month, we are going to be playing the follow-up to Limbo. We're playing Inside. Oh, yeah.
Got from slap
from Play Dead.
Nice.
Hell of a title for a game studio. Especially one which is with as much existential dread put into their games. Really accurate description of that studio.
As both of the games there.
Yep. So we're going to be playing Inside next month. So play along with us. If you have any questions or comments about that game, you can also reach out about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
And we will see you again. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Chris.
We're joining hands. You can't see in the room, but we're joining hands. It's been a wonderful experience.
It has been.
Thanks for listening. We will see you again on the next Backlog Review Game Club.
Backlog Review Game Club!